everybody. Hey, everyone. We are the Awesome and Real Podcast. I am your host, Regine L. Sawyer. I'm the coordinator and founder of Lock It Down Productions. Oops, no, I'm not. That's wow.
Wow. I'm
the founder of Women in Comics Collective International. Thank you very much. I am a publisher and writer at Lock It Down Productions. Oh my God, it's so hard to be away
from you. I have to apologize. I think I stumbled you up because I had a whole energetic thing going on over here. That's my bad.
You did.
I'm sorry, baby. That was all me.
We need a little twist up and
let's start again.
That's what I get for being away from the audience for so long. anywho, and my illustrious co-host is here giggling and talking.
Yes. And yes. Well, no, I'm also just dealing with some connectivity issues. You're cutting in and out, which is like a bummer because just prior to this, we were having such a lovely rhythm. At any rate, I'm gonna banter as the virtual intelligences and the internets catch up with us. I'm Ilka Pinero. I run the Ilka Pinero Incorporated. I mean, basically that's just where I do all my things from. My things include clairvoyant coaching, meditation, mentorship, executive function coaching, Reiki, writing, performance, and thinking deeply about various subjects. Talking about them with my good friend, Regine L. Sawyer. Hi.
Hi.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think the connection caught up. Look at that. It worked out.
I think it did too. I think.
Yay! Aw. Thanks, virtual intelligences.
So
how are you doing?
Oh, goodness. You know, we're here. We're here, present and accounted for.
Yes.
Feel like every other week we need to take a break.
You know what? You know what? I'm really proud of us for that.
I really do. Because it's just so much that's happening all at once. And I think we say that every time we have but it's true. Like, it's one thing after another. But again, we're here, we're present and accounted for, and that says a lot. But, you know, there have been more than a few things that have been going on over the past few weeks. A lot of good stuff, personally, and I'll talk about that later. I'm going to be working on some projects and have some virtual events coming up and all that stuff. But I basically have been staying put. that's the key phrase of the year. Well, one of them. I've been basically staying put and sort of just chilling and getting reconnected with myself and my cats. You know, yeah. What I've been doing as the outside world has been doing what it's been doing, and staying up with it, staying up with what's going on out here in the world. So how about you? How are you doing?
I mean, you know, I'm actually sort of all right.
Okay.
And it's so wild too. I completely agree. I love that we did not discuss this and it was just like such a psychic decision. We were like, yeah, it was every other week. And I was like, God damn right. Because you know what? We don't owe nobody nothing. Ain't nobody paying us to do this. This is just us coming doing, you know what I mean? So like if we're recontextualizing, you know, all of the things that we were taught is the way we do it, right? Who's to say it has to be once a week or blah, 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 you know? Like, why can't, like, there could be a day where we could be like, shit, we're gonna have to fucking pod 3 days in a row to finish this conversation and then, like, not say shit for, like, a month, you know? Who's to say? So I'm really excited about us, like, de-shackling ourselves from some conception of time. Yes, is my first response to that. And then that is actually a pretty good example of how I'm doing. I'm kind of really in my head. And like in my head about not being in my head, really. And it's exciting when I can bring it into my body because there is a really fair amount of personal learning and like shadow excavation that I've been getting into whilst I too have been staying put, I'm keeping my black ass in the house unless, you know, it's something that is like a necessity. And even that, because of things that feel like necessities, I mean, I'm out, you know, I take my little walks and I do my little things and, you know, flapples around into the neighborhood and, you know, timed errands and whatnot. And that's really kind of it. And as you were talking, I was just, as you were answering this question, I was thinking about this tweet I saw where it's just like, you know, like, like black people are dealing with two plagues right now. Yeah, and I'm just gonna put that out there. I'm gonna kick it over to you because you seem to have a really great response. Well, not great response, but kind of the response that I saw that, and I was like, oh yeah. I was like, sure. And the timing of it all is so interesting. And then I recall another thing that I very briefly sort of consumed, you know, where in someone had sort of was listing out the way that this administration has kind of like parsed out where they throw their focus. You know what I mean? Their sort of like genocidal focus. And someone was like, isn't it fitting that nearing this election, like it's all settling down really on the black people. And then that was before, you know, we found out that they were doing like forced sterilizations at
God.
Yeah. Mm. So, you know, I mean, it's all pretty wild. It's all not atypical. And most concerning is the way in which similar things are happening all over the globe. And that maybe is a whole different conversation. It definitely is a meditation we should probably get into at some point privately. And so like in our little, in what feels like my kind of little corner of, you know, mental or I guess energetically like compacted space is like what we were talking about. Like in the, since we last came on this forum, how many other people have been outed as white people who were pretending to be black? How many people? Like four? Has it been like four other people? And Native?
You mentioned four. I mean, I'm aware of three.
Are you aware of the most recent one who has like the weird kind of curly, wet blonde hair? Red hair? So who are you?
I think so.
Okay. Are you aware of a Native one?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Either way. The fact that we're just like, is it three? Is it four? I mean,
it's too many. Whatever it is, it's one too many.
Exactly. And the fact that this is like, it's enough that it's a trend. Like, that's a trend.
I don't know if I would call it a trend or a lifestyle.
Well, I mean, the trend of, well, it's a, well.
And the reason why
I pause that, on that, you, yeah.
It's just it's way too many. And these are just the three or four plus, you know, the others that we heard about, you know,
over the years.
And like over the years is more than one, two, three, four.
Yeah, right.
It's just continuous. It's just absolutely continuous. And this is something that obviously has existed for a long time. And there's more people out there that are essentially out here, you know, black facing their life. Black and brown facing their life. That's what I'm calling it.
As banana sandwich.
We said it already.
It's psychopathic. It's, yeah, right? Isn't that? Yes. I think that's what that is.
It's too much. I mean, even for that moment of silence, it's just like, wait, this is it's really too much. And they have to get down to the bottom of why. And more seriously, like to the heart of it. Mm-hmm. Like why exactly? Like what compels you to take on the guise of a race, of a culture that you're not. What are you lacking as a human being? I mean, we can definitely go into it and delve into it, but they're the ones that really need to. But at the same time, it directly hurts and harms our community. So I think our last conversation, and this is essentially part two of our conversation.
Yes.
On the last time that we broadcasted, is that. Oh, shoot, I lost it.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, wait. Hold on. Wait, this might be an alley-oop. Is it that the people who choose to, impersonate, right, Black people or brown people, the fact that they use it to actually just, like, be super fucking anti-racist because they end up being, they've infiltrated places of gatekeeping? Was it going to be that?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Yes! Psychic links, bitch!
They're never the person down the street.
Yeah, exactly. No. It's never just like, this is my flower shop.
Yeah, it's like, it's never someone just living a normal life. They're not an activist. They're not a community organizer. It's never anything like that. That's what it is. It's somebody that wants to sort of cannibalize our culture.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. And I think at best, because like as you were talking, I was like, what would that mindset be? What would that mindset be? You know? And beyond, like, it doesn't go deeper than like, I loved it so much, I want to be a part of it. I really felt like, you know, like it's gotta just always be, that's like, I feel like that's the best case scenario. Like I feel like a Rachel Dolezal is like your best case scenario. You know, in terms of like the way that brain pattern is working is what I'm going to call it, you know, where it's like, I felt really connected to it. And even that is unacceptable. You know what I mean? Because I don't know. It's a delusion. Right. And so if that's the delusion, the fact that the delusion is all tied up in having power over, right? And like the way there's this theory, right, where, and it was around Rachel, where it was just like, yeah, there's this thing where it's like, okay, in the context of like white supremacist beauty standards, like there's some common sort of denominator around these ladies where they like don't really align with it. Right? Think about those faces. Think about all those faces. Like, they don't really align with it, but it's like, if they kick it over, you know, to like what the conditioned culture has been taught is like bottom of the barrel, yeah, then all of a sudden, like, they're light skinned, they're blonde, they have light eyes. You see what I mean? So, like, this just in that, like, little, like, doop, like the hop over the fence. You know, the fence is made of colorism. The fence is made of patriarchy. The fence is made of misogynoir, misogyny. You know what I mean? Like the fence is like the slat, the planks on that fence are, you're like, oh yeah, the planks on that fence are your pillars, right? And these people are just like, bloop, let me hop that fucking fence. Let me hop that fence and go in there and take up space, right? And take up resources. Like it's diabolical. It's diabolical.
Makes me want to sing a song. About our fair skinned brothers and sisters who are out here and exist. And I'm thinking about one tweet that I saw weeks and weeks ago. I can't even remember who tweeted it because, you know, I like to shout out the various tweeters. And I remember her saying that my skin color is that of rape.
Oh,
yeah. Isn't that deep? That, like, I remember
it's visceral.
It is visceral.
Yeah.
Like, damn, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I think about that, you know, I think about, you know, folks out here that don't feel Black enough, you know, whether it's because they have fair skinned parents, so they're fair skinned, or you know, you have brown skinned parents and you just came out the way you came out because of, yes, you know, the history of slavery and slavers forcing themselves on our ancestors. And then, you know, folks who are mixed, they're from a, you know, a loving relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they're, and they're, and they may pass as white.
Mm-hmm.
But they will be the first ones to put braids in their hair, let you know. I'm black, you know, I'm very, very black. And I think about them and then stuff like this happens.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, my blackness will always be in doubt because of this.
Well, you know, I don't know. I think I align with the phenotype argument.
And that is?
That you could just see it, that there's something there.
That's true.
You know, hold on. I want to look up specifically what a phenotype is. Let's learn.
let's learn.
I was told today in my water time it's one of my favorite mantras. Like they were like, use that mantra. You've been saying that energetically. Start saying it in your real life. Okay. A set of observable characteristics of an individual resulting from the interaction of its genotype in the environment. So the key here is observable characteristics. So yeah, like you can see it. Like you're like, like you can see cultural black, you know what I mean? Like you can see cultural blackness. Not cultural, that's wrong. Biologically cultural. I don't know what I'm saying. I have to parse this out privately before I start to try to talk to people about it.
But I understand.
But you know what I'm talking about though, right? Like I don't have the languaging around it yet. But it's like you can tell.
I don't know. Maybe a kinship. It also may be a kinship thing. Like you just feel it in your spirit. Feel it in your bones.
And that's why I will continue to raise my eyebrow at Frederick Douglass. My eyebrow has not gone down around Alexander Scamilton.
Taco Max.
Most theft.
Most theft.
I don't trust it. I don't trust it.
I get you. I get it. I get you.
I don't trust it.
I think a lot of people don't. A lot of people don't. And I don't blame anybody.
Like I think about that dude's face and my eyes crinkle up.
I don't think you're the only one. And you know, y'all out there in podcast land, feel free to look up those names named.
if you're black, you can use them. If you're not, don't.
I don't blame you. I definitely don't blame you. If something in your spirit says this doesn't smell right, it's not right.
His lips are very thin.
I'm thinking about. What was Jessica La Bamba? What was her name?
Jessica La Bombalera, fucking bitch.
I think about her, but I know. Yeah. I'll finish this thought. I think about how she had that video. That video where she, you know, she was, you know, speaking to, I guess, white folks that were out there protesting but not really doing much or whatever. And she's like, fuck out of here.
She didn't say it right.
Like every borough says it differently. Hello. But those of you who don't know, it's like it's just about your accent. So when you're hearing it, you're like, that's you know, Midwest, fuck out of here. Like that's not, you know, yo, fuck out of here. Get the fuck out of here. Like that's not, you know, like, yo, get the fuck out of here. Like, what are you talking about? Like, that's not any way, shape, or form. So when people of color that were from New York, like born and bred, when you're born and bred here, it's just a difference. It's just
listen. Let it sit in your spirit, Ma. Let it out.
Like, yeah. You heard, like you hear it and you're like, no. First of all, you're not a New Yorker. And then like two, you are not a woman of color. In any way, shape, or form. Like, it was like, where's your family from? What? Like, But I think the other part of what I was going to say is that, in general, I have found that, you know, Black people can be very accepting when they choose to be.
Mm.
When they choose to be. I'm prefacing that. When they choose to be, you know, Black people have left have allowed mad people into their homes, you know, into their spirits, like just simply protecting, just to be protecting folks that needed refuge.
Girl, you remember that day that before I even thought about it, I stopped that old man from getting hit by a car?
Yes.
Wasn't even thinking about it.
I was thinking about back in the mid-70s when New York had that blackout, my mother and her sister and her brother, they were on a train with this young woman. Her family was from France. She was French, white woman, young. Mm-hmm. They somehow brought her home.
Sure, I believe it. I believe it.
Because she said, "I'm going where y'all going," and they're like, "Huh? Like what?" And they came me, and they were just like, "Okay, yeah, you're coming with us. Just come." And then in the midst of it, in the midst of all the chaos, her period started.
Oh no!
Mommy and her sister had to grab her some like maxi pads and stuff.
Good gravy on the go.
Okay. Yes.
What? That's so much business. And that as soon as
she got home, you know, called her parents, and they're like, "Where are you?" Like, "I'm with a black family," you know, you know. But the family, they were so grateful and thankful. Sent grandma this beautiful, beautiful crystal set.
Oh, nice!
A punch bowl set, beautiful. We still have it.
Oh,
it's still in the family. Yeah, like I think about stuff like that, you know. And that's not the only story that I've heard. Things of that nature, like when we are accepting, when we take you in.
Yeah.
We take you in.
Yeah.
And that's just the facts. You know, when we accept, we accept. And that's why it's so hurtful when our community does not accept. You know, especially our own LGBTQ+.
Yep.
That's why it's so hurtful, because we know how to take people in.
Yeah.
And take care of each other.
Yes.
That's one of the reasons it's so hurtful, and because we're so community oriented. So I think about that, how we take people in, and then we're like, "Oh, you black? Okay." You know, you're like, you might get some, like, whatever. You know,
I'm going through it right now. And a thing that I'll talk to you about offline, I'm so surprised I didn't even mention it to you. But because she's black, there's things that I'm like, okay, what are we going to do? You know, whereas like, if she wasn't, I'd be like, "I'm sorry to hear you're going through that. Let me know when you can reschedule." You know? Yeah. It's fascinating.
It's just that thing. So I also think about like, wow, like people really know how to take advantage of us.
Yes.
You know our kryptonite. You know our weakness.
Yep.
Like we suckers for sad stories. We suck. Like, oh,
I mean,
God.
Not even that. It's just, you know, that's, yes, that is one way to put it. And also I feel like we're just the compassion. Well, I think we're just a compassionate people.
We are.
I think it takes a lot to, I mean, yes. And you know what? That's not even like particularly an innovative statement, you know, because like that tracks to the place where it's just like, you know, where we are always talking about like the fact that like black people have been so obviously mistreated in so many obvious ways for so long and haven't just all gotten together and fucked shit up yet.
Yeah.
Like that little piece of the discourse that floats around, that is sort of constantly sort of floating around in the soup. And the people that are like, "Why aren't we doing that? We should do that." You know, and the people are like, no, let's not do that. So it's so wild to me to see in the macro what I really feel like is an internal struggle, you know, which goes back to what we were talking about before, where I was just like, I just want to fuck somebody up. Right? I just want to fuck somebody up. And I think, you know, it's so interesting to me that like you can see it, like you can see it on the systemic level in black people and the way that we sort of like float on this place, you know what I mean? Like it's this kind of weird hydroplane. Like how do you feel when you see those videos of like, you know, some fucking white person being like, "You're a nigger," and then like the black person is like, "Word," and just mollywops them? Like what happens to you inside? Because I know I'm like, "Get him." Like I'm like, "Get him, Jade." I'm like, "Get him, Jade." Like, yo, when I Django Unchained, I almost said Django because that's how that it named me.
That's my brother's name.
I know. That's why I had to stop myself, because for the movie it's Django. So anyway, but like that shit, things like that. Like I saw it with a friend of mine who was white, and I, he, like bloodlust came up in me, like, I was like, fuck them up, Jank. Like, fuck them up. And like, there was a, like, I got a, like, it was pleasurable. Right. So that's what I'm, yeah, I know you do. Right. And that's what I mean about, that's what I mean about the like sort of collective black hydroplaning between like, you know, wanting vengeance and just wanting rest.
To your point, yes. I also think that in recent years, that has come up with black folks when Get Out came out.
Word.
I know. I mean, I know I had very vocal moments.
Yeah.
In a movie theater with a ton of interracial couples in it. and I went to see the movie by myself. So I was like, this is going to be interesting, me leaving here. you know? But I mean, facts were facts. And it was just like, yeah, this is happening to this man. Do what you got to do.
Right.
Do what you got to do. But I think a lot of us have a lot of like righteous anger, you know, pent up rage, because it's not just about cheering on just gratuitous violence. It's, you know, if you've been wronged as a people, and it just feels like, you know, you keep getting it at every single end, no matter where you turn. I mean, look at what's going on right now. With the pandemic, you know, in terms of how people have died, like who has died, has been mainly black and brown people, you know, all, you know, the racial disparity that's been all up and through our faces, this whole entire time, the racialized violence, even, I mean, today, finally, one of Breonna Taylor's, killers, has been indicted by a grand jury, but only one.
Yeah.
You know, and how long ago was that? That was March, I believe.
Yeah.
She was killed. So here we are, April, June, July, August, September, 5 months later. I mean, you're righteously indignant. You're righteously angry. You know, we give a lot, we do a lot, and we contribute a lot to society. All, you know, whatever we do, we're here. Whatever we're doing, you know, we're here, and we deserve to be loved, respected, and cherished.
Well, yes, as does everyone.
As does everyone. But it's time.
That's the thing.
I'm just talking about black folks because, you know.
Yes, of course. You know. But that leads right into this All Lives Matter shit. That's wild. And how, and like the moment, that's what cracks me up, is like the second somebody says that, I'm like, you ain't shit. You're either too dumb to be shit, or you're like actively malevolently not shit. Like, even if you say it as a joke, right? Because it doesn't hold up to not one piece of scrutiny. All Lives Matter. Okay, well then you should then see how this might be a problem. And then it becomes all about the pretzel logic and the, well, he should have, and the blah, blah, blah. Like, up till today, there are people who believe and are like stating publicly that like Breonna Taylor was up behind her boyfriend, like, you know, helping him evade the cops.
Oh God.
Did you know this? Did you know that was like the oppositional story?
I'm not surprised.
Right. I was like, oh, really? Y'all just made some shit up, huh? Cool. You know, but then we're living in a situation where like this QAnon person, people, whomever, I don't even know how to say the word, but that like, you know, psychic, that like alt-right weird psychic like group of people that believe in all of the things. We've talked about them. Yes. Right. You know, is it them? You know who I'm talking about. Is that how you say it? QAnon? QAnon?
I've been saying QAnon.
Okay, that makes sense.
And I'm just saying Mr. Robot.
Oh, nice. But you know, like they have such a foothold. They have such a foothold in this country with people, you know? And it's like going back to what you said at the beginning of this thing, where it's just like, I'm staying put. Like, yeah, I'm staying put. I'm staying put till I can, you know, figure some real shit out, because I don't think what is going to be happening to this country is something I want to be a part of. energetically. Like, it just seems real. It just seems real unnecessarily dumb. It's sad and disappointing on some level. You know, it's terrifying on some level. And on some level, I'm like, all right, well, let me just go ahead and not be a part of this. Because just, it's disheartening. It's disheartening, not even necessarily to see the people that are like truly caught lost in the sauce. What really disheartens me is that the like the white folks that quote unquote do the work, and then they kind of feel like the work is done and you can just sort of see where they stopped.
Yes.
Case in point, like the like notorious RBG usage and the of Breonna Taylor. I put a whole little, when I did one of my story rants today, and I was like, okay, so, you know, the stalwart t-shirt wearing and the hand wringing and the magazine covers, for what? For what? For what? For them to indict one dude? And like somehow even the language of the indictment is is like fucked up and offensive. And I'm just like, oh, right, because they don't think we're human. They don't think we're like, they don't, I don't think they, I really, really believe that deep, deep down, right? Like at its core, like the core teachings of whiteness, right? Because, you know, I'm also trying to do this thing where I don't, like, white people, no, like, let's like want to decolonize like that oppressive thing. So whiteness, right, is that if we talk about like the like the hierarchy, if like whiteness is at the top and blackness is at the bottom, right, because that's how hierarchy would work, yes, it is that it is how blackness is meant. It is just meant to be of service. I think if you could kind of like dig into the core of someone who is really infected with whiteness, like the core of that infection, right, is that like, you exist only to be useful to me. Property, man, like property. They ate our ancestors, girl. They just ate them. They just ate them. They fucked them against their will and they ate them. And they treated them like furniture, like, and it wasn't that long ago.
Categorically, no, it wasn't.
And they won't even talk about it. Like, we're not even having this conversation in school. And I think about all of the creative ways that we could have dealt with this, like, pandemic, which could have been like, what if we just gave everybody a gap year? And what if we just looked at the curriculum?
Yes, that's the idea.
That was a story rant too. I was like, yeah, like I was just like, what if, you know, like, what if it was just like, what if we didn't, what if they just didn't steal our money from us that doesn't even really exist because it's so inflated now, right? And like, it only is really the value we gave it. Like, what if they didn't just take this inflated, overvalued thing, right, to which we're all beholden, and like give it to these corporations while they literally, I mean, these motherfuckers are playing in our faces and there's nothing we can do about it. And I'm like, really, you motherfuckers over here just like, yay government? Like, I don't know, that made no sense to me. It makes no sense to me. I'm like, how are you not seeing this? How are you not looking at your own life and seeing how the shit is going? And you're not like stunned and dismayed and you're not inspired to like go figure out all the other shit that you haven't really had the opportunity to notice or didn't care to notice. That's my Aquarius talking. But yeah, that's where my head goes. That's where my head goes. When I'm just like, all right, I don't know what we're doing and how it all goes back to these pillars, girl. It all goes back to the pillars. So here's this lady.
Oh, doll.
Okay. So here, you did, bitch. You did. So here's this lady. And this thing, this is a little, and this, another thing playing in our faces. A couple days ago when they were like, yeah, no, they boarding up all this, all that. So the fact that they're just, that right there telegraphs that it's going to be some bullshit. Because that's a regular tactic now where they're just like, yeah, no, we already know what we're going to say. And we already know these niggas going to be upset about it. So let's just protect the property because that's what we give a fuck about. As soon as I said, I was like, yeah, nah, it ain't, nah. So all these jackrabbit cartwheels on pictures and marches and celebrities in their t-shirts and, you know, constant posting and songs. Like, what did it do? What did it do? And so then that leads me to, like, see, Breonna Taylor is somebody that we wish resting in power. Because she is someone who went out unjustly. And, like, they're going to keep fucking being unjust to her, no matter how much money they give her. Because they are perpetuating all the things by just being like, yeah, we don't really give a fuck. Because she's not human. Because she's Black.
Well, someone made a good point. Another person, again, on Twitter, the other day said, you know, I feel a way about Breonna Taylor becoming pop art.
Yeah.
And it's like you weren't a human being.
Yes.
Now you're an artistic piece. You're commentary. Yeah. You know, as opposed to a person that lived, breathed, and died unjustly. You were murdered.
Right.
You know. But yeah, you become this thing, this concept, as opposed to someone remembering you as a human being.
Mm-hmm. You
know, like almost like, I don't know if the word would be like celebritized. Like how we have,
we can do that. Commodified.
Like you have all these various different celebrities who have died, especially those who have died young. Marilyn Monroe was a really good example.
Yes.
And her picture is everywhere. I mean, I don't know if her estate gets anything. You know, like
right.
You know, possibly. But you know, you see, everyone's honoring this beautiful woman in a sense. But do you really know her? And she died in a very sad way.
Yeah.
You know, but I guess people are just like, well, you know, like let's celebrate her. I'm like, are we really?
Right.
Because for Breonna, it's like, look, you're like, we haven't even, you know, taken care of all the people that hurt and harmed her. Like, right. we just had an indictment today of one person. So I think we can hold off on the commodifying.
I mean, hold off. We'll never do it.
But you know what I mean? You know, I think the point was to draw attention to her. And it just went left because that's what always happens.
Well, see, but this is what I'm curious about. So remember we talked about this a second ago, because time's an illusion. But some weeks ago on the pod, and I was like, there's a thing here where there's like land, there's something going on with like land development. Remember we talked about that? And I didn't have more about it, but I had like seen it somewhere. Do you remember this? Okay. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't know where it was. And it just was a glance. And like, it might even have been psychic, something somewhere, somehow. So that story is getting like a tiny bit of traction, but like one could research it and look it up and Google it. Right. When I did it, there was enough there that I was like, yeah, no, that's fucked up. And I haven't done it since. And so I would imagine that things may even have been scrubbed. I don't know. And I think it's I think there's something to be said here around, you know, the way we get and share information and how it's so easy to be influenced by like things, you know, because like this, you said it was so, I love, you were like, yeah, it went left. And I was like, yeah, it went left. And like the fact that this land development part of the conversation that I feel like is pretty key, like it's sort of like toward the right, you know what I mean? And like, that's not getting any attention at all, you know, where it's just like, this is because, and the reason it feels like it's kind of like tickling at me is because it's just like, all right, no, this feels like it might be a really key component for people to be able to understand when we say like, no, it doesn't, like her life didn't matter to them because they wanted to put whatever development in. Like it wasn't, you know? And so then that brings up the thing of like, well, maybe if people hadn't worn the t-shirts, it wouldn't even have gotten this far, you know? So I'd have no answers about it really other than I just keep coming back to intentionality around it because the level of performance without it's just like, it feels like it stops. Like there's a depth to which, like, you know, people who were super aligned with whiteness, let's say it that way, right, and who decide to kind of de-align from that or with that, right, they get to this place and then they just sort of like, it feels like they hover, you know. And I'm just kind of seeing it, like, I'm seeing it in like personal relationships, I'm seeing it collectively, I'm seeing it in terms of, you know, like corporations with which I'm personally affiliated, with which we are, you know what I mean? Like, right? Don't you just kind of see where it's like, well, we can just kind of click, like we'll go like 1, 2, 3 inches in, but that's as far as it's going to go. We're not going to get to the core of it. Right. And I feel like we as Black people, in order to fucking survive, have just sort of had to continually be like, all right, I guess half an inch is better than like outside, you know?
Yes, I guess. I mean, because right now, even as you were talking,
yeah,
I took a little peep on Twitter and I see that an artist, I'm not going to name them, okay, has created a limited run gold foil art print of Breonna Taylor, and it says, say her name, and the proceeds go to Campaign Zero, which is to help to bring awareness to reducing police violence. And I still feel a way about it.
Yes.
And the artist is white.
Oh, and that's where they fucked up.
The artist is white. Okay. And the print is $29.75. And that bothers me. That bothers me on such a deep level. And it goes back to commodifying. It's like, even for the purpose of raising money for something that is supposed to help, I guess, but I'm at a point where I'm about, you know, defunding the police. Like, that'll reduce police violence. I have a problem with that. I have an issue, even if there's Black folks that are involved with this proposal and so forth. Because I'm seeing some names in terms of who's involved with Campaign Zero. But I have a problem. I do have a problem with that, a massive problem. It's still commodifying her image. It's still celebritizing her. That's what I'm going to say about that for right now.
Yeah. Excuse me. Excuse me. Woo. Pardon me. I got to drink some water.
No problem. But as we're, you know, we're moving moving a little bit towards the end of the pod. We have several minutes still. Mm-hmm. But I know we want to talk a little bit about love languages, didn't we?
Well, you know what? I did, actually. I did have a deal. That is a great idea, because I was feeling, in terms of all of, you know, around all of everything that we have been talking about, like, and oh, right, because I have been on this tip lately of like, no. Like, I'm demanding tribute. I'm just like, no, you got to enter my space. You got to come in correct, you know, like, don't, they're like this thing of, and there's still some instances in my space where it continues to happen, where like people, non-Black people, well, white people, right, are just sort of like barreling into my space with their demands for my labor, be it creative, mm-hmm, energetic, emotional, mm-hmm, my attention, various things, you know, just coming in, just like all of a sudden it's just like, you know, like a 4-inch long text with nary a break. Where it's like, blah, blah, blah. It's like, okay. And then I'm like, send that to me in an email. And then days pass, I don't get the email. I'm like, what is this? What is happening? Like, meet me. Like, let's meet me where I am. Right? And what I find that's so absurd to me is that is the direct proportionality of people who do that with, like, performance.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because it's just, you know, or, like, wokeness. Or, like, I'm one of the good ones. You know what I mean? Like, they're like, yeah, and it's this thing where it's just, like, this kind of like wink, wink, nudge, nudge, like, you know, I'm one of the good ones, right? And meh, like that kind of shit. And it's just like, yeah, but you out here hovering too. You out here just hovering too. You just think you like learned some stuff. Like you listened, like you muted yourself and listened for a while, and you read a couple books, you did a couple workshops, and then you just didn't apply that shit to your real life. You didn't look at the fucking Black person in your life and go, is it possible that I could be perpetuating these same systems with this person that I claim to love? And the inability to apply that lens to themselves and to ask that question. It's wild. It's wild the way almost to a person, there's maybe a handful that I see really working on it, but to a person, this the way they just sort of sidestep it when it really, like when the mirror really comes right up to them, something happens and they don't look in that fucking mirror. But they love holding that shit up to everybody else. And I guess that's everyone's thing, right? In a lot of ways, but I do think one of the like balancing sort of restitutional acts, right?
Yeah.
That people who have chosen to come into bodies in this lifetime, you know, that look like the thing that is like easier to align with whiteness. Yeah. I think like it, like, like the restitution there is you actually have to do the extra work of like, you have to go the extra mile. Again, it's a direct proportionality. Sure. Like if you, like you got to go as far as Black people been fucked up. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I do.
Like, it's gotta be, this is not like, this is not super eloquent language around it, but it's like, you know, you gotta go that far. You gotta go that deep. You, that is what, to me at this point, is required. This hovering shit is not gonna cut it. Because if we talk, as we've said, this hovering shit is fucking them up too. We're all getting fucked up. So I was considering my demands and how, you know, and like what like feels right, you know, and what doesn't feel right. And so, you know how, when you take the 5 love languages quiz, they like rank the 5 for you. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. So what are yours? I'm curious.
Mine.
Yeah.
I'm saying that publicly.
Oh no. Okay. Okay. Share one.
I don't mind. It's okay.
Share
it's
one.
Okay.
Share one. Why don't you all not let people know how to fucking fuck with you?
My top love language is acts of service. That's number one.
Okay.
Well, I guess we probably should just name them. So as I'm naming them,
let's do it.
Rank. So okay, acts of service.
Yes.
Words of affirmation.
Okay.
Quality time.
Right on.
Oh, that's not, well, yeah, it's quality time and gift giving is tied for me.
Okay.
Quality time, gift giving, and physical touch. Physical touch is my absolutely my last.
Really? Real talk. Because I'll be like, ping, and I'll be like, ow! I'm like, what?
Don't touch me unless I give you permission.
But it's hilarious to me because you always give me psychic permission. And then in like the physical way, we're like, man, I'm like, stop it. My right, like, every time.
And I'm like, oh, wait, I say, I don't care if it's psychic permission, give me a minute.
When okay. I don't even try to do a shit, I just be like, excuse me, I have to get this staple. And you're like, like, what?
Touch me, no? I was like,
don't. My arm brushed you, bitch.
I don't care. I was like, no, no.
Okay, this is hysterical. This is hysterical and I love it because here's mine. This is I love this so much. Okay, so mine are acts of service and devotion, physical touch, quality time. Quality time and physical touch are, actually, they're all three real close. I don't even really differentiate those three. And then I'm gift giving. And then at the very bottom is words of affirmation. And I actually like I distrust words of affirmation.
But I'm not sure why you do.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm. So that's so funny. That like,
I think the reason why it's for me, it has to be tied to acts of service. Like if you give me words of affirmation and you didn't do anything to back it up, I'm like, no, like I don't trust it. I mean, that's why it's number. I get that's how I feel about it.
Yeah,
like I don't trust it unless I see you do.
Right.
You know that, but that's just for me personally.
Right.
You know, for me personally, it has to be tied together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one can't be there and the other isn't.
Mm-hmm.
you know, and I guess that's why physical touch is like, physically, like, that's nice. You know how to put your fingers on somebody. You know how to, you know, hug somebody. You know, that's cute. That's real cute. Anybody can do that. You know, I'm like, that's real cute. You know, only if I like you.
That's true.
Even if I like you, you still have to have permission. I'm very much my mother's daughter.
I know. Every time it cracks me up, because every time you're like, no,
That's how I feel about my favorite. Whatever second it was that I felt that way, and then it's like a second later, I'm like, all right.
Yes. No. My thing is always like, I'm always like, wow, how would she receive that if it was somebody she didn't like?
Oh no, it's like don't touch.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Because we're like,
and you're fine. What are we doing? What are we doing right now? Back up.
I like asking people what they think this is. I'm like, what do you think this is? I love asking. You know. I love. I love. Help me understand. Just help me understand such and such and such. You're quiet.
From you, scare me.
Why? I'm really asking to be.
I know you are, but I'm like, no, the person's in trouble because they're not going to be able to help her understand. You don't have the capacity. You don't have the bandwidth. I don't know why. Like, why she's asking? Because you know she's not going to get a viable answer. Sometimes you probably do. That might give someone an opportunity to be like, well, let me think about it. Let me try to get my words together. You know, others are just, you know, scratching and sniffing for a letter. You know?
Yeah, girl. I really just love to understand. Like yesterday when we had was that yesterday? Good Lord. I think it was. The day before? I can't remember. We had our amazing conversation about, no. About rest and power.
Yes, we had a good conversation about rest and power.
And I don't, something about that conversation, I don't know, it just made my heart grow like 17 bigger sizes for you. Words of affirmation. And I really mean them because of like all of the learning that happened in that like 30 minute conversation.
Yeah.
Like that was really like, I was like, wow, it can be like this all the time. Like we can actually hold space for each other to be vulnerable.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Because when I was like, wah, 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 and you were like, I'm going to be vulnerable and admit this to you. And I was like, I'm going to be vulnerable and be surprised. And then we just worked it out. And I was like, you know what? Give us our flowers.
No, I mean, and that does go back to, you know, not words of affirmation, excuse me. Love languages. It's like, well, you know, here's the thing. Here's the honesty within the various languages. Yes.
Like here is the act of service and devotion.
Yeah, here is me being honest. Like this is not like this, you know, this is what I mean by saying, you know, rest in power. That's what that was a conversation. This is what I said. This is what I said. And this is why I said it.
Yeah.
You know, this is my truth.
But even before we got into that, even before we got into the, like, helping each other through it, right? Just the moment of, like, me being super judgmental, right? Like, I sometimes. And you being like, hey, girl. And then immediately just being like, okay, wait. You know, like, it was, like, not, I don't know. Like, maybe everybody needs to just to, like, be on the phone for 2 hours for, like, you know, 15 months straight helping each other through trauma to be able to get to that level of just being able to be like, all right, you know what? Actually, I trust you enough that I'm on pivot here rather than responding with like defense and I'm right. Yeah. I don't know. I think we created some magic at that boat, but I really do.
I think so.
I think we advanced society, you and I.
That goes to say that, or goes to show that how important honesty is in relationships, and just, you know, it's also very a vulnerable feeling. Like, okay, I'm going to say this, and this person may not receive it. And you're doing it in kindness. You're not being haughty or, you know, disrespectful. You're just saying, well, this is how I feel about this, and you know, watch as someone else receives that information and processes it.
Yeah.
And then you take it for wherever they're going to go, because you could even like, well, that's bullshit. You know, even though I'm being honest, like for me, rest in power was to say, hey, you didn't have power before, you know, here it is. And you didn't think that person was justified in having that rest in power.
Mm-hmm.
But then I just went on to explain, well, that's why I did it. But I do understand where you're coming from and why you feel like that person didn't deserve that rest in power.
Right.
You know, it's like, you didn't shame me, I didn't shame you.
Right. And
it definitely wasn't a deal breaker.
Right.
You know, but it's like, oh, okay. For me, I was like, oh, okay, I get it. Like, I get it. Will mm-hmm. I say, will I be more mindful when I give out my rest and powers? I think I usually am. I'm not one to just say that.
Right.
But, you know, I'll continue to be mindful.
Yes. Well, I think the contextualization of like, we offered to people who like didn't have power in life.
Yes.
You know, or like it was, they had to like, it was the, like their inherent, their like birthright powers were like obstaculated in some way, you know? Like that's why, you know, I feel like, to me, it feels like if you welling inside the margins in that and like that, you have power, you know, you can just rest in peace. Like, mm-hmm. we don't need to wish no bestowal of power upon you posthumously because you had it, you know, like it just. Yeah. So, I mean, it's dicey. And also, still, you as a Black person saying rest in power hits different and way more appropriately to me than a non-Black person or non-brown person, or really just a non-marginalized person being like, rest in power, Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Like, I'm just like, why that don't seem right? Like, that don't even sit right. Like,
They don't understand the context. And also, you have to understand the nuances of colonization,
yep.
and oppression, and be mindful of your speech. You know, you have to do that. That's a lot of work. Again, this is a lot of work that we're asking, you know, white folks to do who are interested in, you know, not being a part of systemic racism, not, you know, you're interested in unraveling your anti-Blackness. It's like, it's things of that nature that you have to think about and look at and adjust and readjust.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as long as you're living on this planet, that's what we're asking folks to be mindful of your language,
mm-hmm.
and move towards evolution.
Please,
yeah, please. It makes it better for everybody. It makes it better for everyone.
So that's what's up with that, Mama.
I mean, I think that was a good love language. Segue.
If
you're interested in finding out what their love languages are, I guess it's fivelovelanguages.com.
Yeah, you could just Google it. I mean,
just Google it. Five love languages. You'll get the test. The test is free. And I mean, it's definitely something to know for yourself. But if you're in a romantic relationship, it's something that you probably should know about each other. You know, it's definitely allows for better communication.
Mm-hmm.
And same thing for friendships.
Yeah, I actually believe any relationship it would be benefited from, you know, like any close relationship. Like, I'm not trying to keep, you know, just every time Dick and Harry's love languages in my head, but like, no. I appreciate knowing yours, you know what I mean? And like, I'm not, you know, I'm just like, what's your top two? Your top two? I'll fuck with you with that one. You know, I'd get you some words of affirmation.
No, my biggest thing is really acts of service. I was like, oh my God, that's me.
Yes, I think like,
thinking about the words of affirmation so much, it was like, yeah, that's me. Like, that's me. And I remember a friend of mine asking me, like, what is acts of service? Because when you think of acts of service, it can easily be looked at as like gifts.
Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Gifts can be an act of service, but I just told him, I mean, the simplest way that you need to be mindful of me.
Yeah.
I'm mindful of like what makes me happy, what makes me peaceful, you know, what puts me at ease. That's me. Like, what puts me at ease? If you see something needed to be done, I didn't get to it, and you know that you do it well, don't do it if you don't know what you're doing. I mean, I'm all for it. It's like, Regine, I took care of this. I handled it. I'm like, oh my God, thank you, Jesus. I love you forever.
Yes, yes, yes.
You know, it needs to be mindful of me and what I like and what I don't.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes, yes. You better let them know.
Pay attention. Keyword, I guess, is pay attention.
Yep. I mean, as one of my top ones, that might be my top one, so I understand. And it was so fascinating, too, when I learned it. And I was like, oh, like my chosen careers, like my professions really align with that.
Yeah, me too.
Really align with those. Like, yes.
Yeah, as soon as you said that, I'm like, oh, shoot. I do active service all the time. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah, my whole shit is an active service. Quality time. And then, you know, pre being inside days, I touched people for money. I mean, I'm going to put my hands on you now and move some shit around and make sure. Oh, here we go. People be like, yes, will you just put your hands on me and put energy into my body? I'd be like, I'd be happy to. Take your clothes off. Get on the table. I miss it.
I know.
I miss it, girl. So, you know, here, I mean, you know, it hits. It hits over distance. And there's something to be said about the laying on. But you know, and it would be great if I could have an animal, but that's a different conversation for a different time and a different apartment. So let's segue. You have some stuff going on. Let's cool down. Why don't you tell us what's happening in your world?
Okay. Well, I think probably one of the most interesting things about me and about what I do, you know, always announce like, oh, I'm the Women in Comics coordinator and founder, and I write and stuff, but I'm also an avid crocheter.
Right on.
And I may have mentioned this, I don't know, I may have mentioned this in the beginning of the start of our podcast journey, I'm not sure. I have a Etsy shop. Yes. And right now, I consider this my biggest season of crochet. It is scarf season. And I'm taking a lot of commissions right now. And also I have an Etsy shop. So I'm always putting things up there. But in the beginning of our podcast journey, I may have still been making crochet masks.
Mm-hmm.
So for those of you who have been with us, if you heard some of the earlier podcasts, I was still making a lot of masks, which I still do. I have them up in the shop, but I just haven't been doing like demos on IG Live. But I might be going back to that. In accordance with that, in a few weeks, I will be teaching a workshop at the Kingsborough Fiber Festival.
Hmm.
I will be teaching a workshop, or I really should say I filmed it already. I filmed it already. I sent it to them. So you guys will learn how to make your own crochet protective mask. There'll also be a really, really cute pattern that'll go along with it. So you can also keep that as a keepsake, as well as the instructions on making the masks. Also, I have some panels coming up, some panels, some events. I think I'll be doing an event. I'm saying I think, because sometimes there's so many events. Sometimes, like, you know for sure, then other times, like, wait, did I send that email and say yes? But, yeah, so I'll be doing some stuff for New York Comic Con. We're going to have a Discord channel via Women in Comics. We'll probably have some type of like little cute little meetup. I got to figure out what exactly we're doing with that. But also there's an event called Virtuous Con. I'll be posting about that soon, which will be really cool because I'll be bending and probably be on a panel as well. And it'll be a really different setup in terms of what people are doing now with virtual conventions. So I'm looking forward to seeing how people receive this new show. I'll also be at DiversityCon. When I say at, from my couch.
Because like, Regina's staying put.
Staying put from my couch. Virtual cons, here I come.
Mm-hmm. Here I come. That's right.
So that'll be also in October. All these events I'm talking about are going to be in October. I'm trying to see what else. There'll be some projects that I'm writing on. You'll hear more about it on Twitter. That'll be something cool to release and see what people think about me being on these various different projects. That'll be fun.
Yes, maybe.
And anything else? Anything else? Anything else? Well, like I said, check out my Etsy. My company for crochet is Stitches and Yarn, also known as Stitch You a Yarn. A little play on words about telling you a story. So check out Stitches and on Instagram, and you can check us out on Etsy, and you can go to my shop, see what I got. And if you want a commission, just DM me, email me, and I can probably make that for you. So that's me. That's me for right now.
Yes. Stitches and Yarn. I have quite a few pieces from Stitches and Yarn, and I get compliments on them all the time. All the time. It's true. People absolutely love them. And I'm just like, no, it's Stitches and Yarn on Etsy. Please go get yourself a scarf. I'm really excited about all of that. You be out here really making it do what it do. Really and truly.
I forgot. We just got a grant from the National Book Foundation.
Yes!
Literary emergency grant. Thank you, National
Quick
Book
claps. Foundation. Oh, quick claps. Get that money.
And the grant journey will not end. I apply to too many things.
You know what? I mean, again, an inspiration. I'm over here like, let me go ahead and get a travel grant so I could go just post up in Guatemala for a while.
Well, hey.
You know what? Yes. So I continue to be inspired by you. Let's see. What am I doing? You know, I'm just still on the meditation tip. Excuse me. I have a little scrapple in my throat. And you know, I'm here. And just, you know, sharing the notes with the class as I get them, really, and working on not being attached to who gets them and who doesn't get them, and just trusting that the folks who get them are the ones who are meant to get them. You know, writing, website things. I went to do laundry the other day, and there was this dog sitting with its people in one of the restaurants, you know, the outside things. And like, we'll see how that goes as it's getting colder. And so it was like this sizable white poodle. And I was wearing like, you know, one of my sort of long fringy scarves. So I'm walking down the thing and the dog gets up, you know, like, you know, walks toward me and like just bunks me in the side of the leg with his head. And I turn and with her head and I turn to the person, I say, is it okay? And you know, the lady's like, yeah, she's like, that's with everyone. And I was like, okay, cool. So, you know, the dog was really funny because she kept brushing her head in the scarf. Like she would go under the scarf and then would kind of like move the fringe as a prop. And it was hilarious. And I was like, oh, this dog is out here making jokes. Like she was like, am I cute in this scarf? Look at my bangs. I'm so cute. Look at this. And she just kept doing it. And I was like, and I'm just standing there. Like 6 feet away, like in the middle of the sidewalk, cracking it up with this dog. Because the dog was like, look at me. Are my bangs too long? It was amazing. And then I was just like, all right, bye, girl. And she was just like, bark, and sat down. It was beautiful. And I love them so much.
Well, those moments are precious, especially
it was so in sweet. This day and age. Yeah, I miss my meet cutes with the various animals of New York. I really do. It wasn't until I really wasn't able to have them that I really realized how often it would happen. Like how often somebody's dog was like, girl, I'd be like, get over here. Like it would really happen like multiple times a week, which makes sense since again, it's part of my job. But you know, I miss going into somebody's house and like snuggling up on their dog and getting the tea from the dog and then dragging the people because they're not, you know, like there's, that was very satisfying to me. So there are things that I would like to call into my life, call like return to my life. And I'm, you know, reckoning with the fact that that might actually mean physically uprooting myself from my life as it is now to go, you know, and find those things that feel really fulfilling and like heart, you know, nourishing. So that's who I am. So come to meditation. Come to meditation. Check me out. Go to my site. You can sign up for my newsletter. Follow me on the Instagrams. That's at the Ilka Pinero. Follow me on Twitter. Same thing. I'm spicier there. But yeah, check it out. Like I'll just pop up every now and then. We'll just do a live meditation. And I have my weekly Thursday meditations on Zoom. If you go to my, my link tree, you can, there's a whatchamacallit, what is the word I'm looking for? There's a thing for it there, a link for it there. Link? Yes, that's the word. It happens. It's from 2 to 3. No, that's a lie. It's short. It's half hour long. So it's like 2:30 to 3 is that, and every Thursday. So Tuesday, Thursday, Sundays, there's some sort of meditation class offering. Tuesdays, it's $35. I don't see a lick of that money. and Thursdays and Sundays is by donation only. So yeah, that's what's up with that. That's what's up with that girl.
Okay.
Check me out. I'm a wizard.
I love it. She is.
I really am. It's wild. It's okay. Wild. Like, I'm just like, whoa, conduit shit. Like, I'm a channel that has nothing to do with human me. Like, take it. It's pretty mind blowing. So
that's our show for today, y'all. We'll be seeing you soon. I will definitely be posting this on Podbean for anybody and late, or you know, they just like to gobble us up in several different episodes at once. This will be on Podbean, as well as the last episode will also be on Podbean. But take care, be well, and we will be talking with you soon.
Yes.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.